from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Thanks to everyone today inside the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. It's a brand new way that you can not only listen, but watch
you
and react to the
show. You can watch me play video games.
You know, you're not playing video games. You're doing a radio show.
Oh, that's right.
But Waddle didn't know until yesterday that Twitch was originally
used for
gamers.
Show people how to wash fruit on a Twitch channel.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want.
Okay.
You could react. It's a busy day if you're just getting into your car after work on your drive home. We just talked to Michael Wilbon. I knew he would not disappoint. He talked about the late, great Gale Sayers. Yeah. We lost him today, the age of 77. As Michael told you, he'd been suffering for a long time.
Yeah, I like I said to you, when we went to the Bears 100-year anniversary celebration in Rosemont, Gale was there. He was not in great shape, and it was kind of, you know, heartbreaking to see him in the condition he was in.
Yeah, and we have the Sox getting underway shortly. It's a great matchup between Giolito
and Bieber. Yeah.
I asked the boys, should we put a play down on the White Sox tonight? They're a dog. We would have to do it quick. I mean, you could do it in game two.
Already did.
Did you? Because
yeah.
They're a dog, and
I'm running out of money on my
Chuck
account.
Garfine told us that they have done fairly, they've done better than most against Bieber, and you got Giolito on the mound, and they're due for a win.
Did you see what Abreu said today? Jose Abreu's done with the White Sox post-clinch hangover. Starting today, you're going to see a very different team,
right.
A better team than you saw before.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Let's go.
I bet them on the money line yesterday. And I know what you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow, that's a crushing loss. Au contraire. Because after I had them at a plus something on the money line, when they went up by two runs, was it 3-1 in the top of the 10th, I had the opportunity to cash out for like $4 or $5 less than if I'd have stayed with the bet. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go to the bottom of the 10th here. They're going to get a runner on base. I don't know what can happen. I cashed out, and I made my money.
That's one of the most fun things I've found about gambling
in-game
stuff. Like, you play it like the stock market, right?
Yes.
Like, you knew when to sell.
I did.
You know, that was awesome. And, like,
yes.
The other day with my Raiders bet, I hopped on the Raiders. I was sitting, and where do you think I was, Abdallah? Where do I do my best work?
On the toilet.
Yes. Yeah. And I was watching, as it was 10-0 Saints, I was watching the in-game odds on the Raiders. And it went from plus 350, it went down to plus 330. Then it went up to plus 390, and I hit click on it. I go, okay, let's go. I like the Raiders to begin with. And I'm like, Drew Brees in his arm without Michael Thomas, I know they're up. Why not?
Yeah.
So I got him at plus 390, and I cashed in. I that's been a lot of fun. I just put down money on the White Sox. I got them
$2.38.
I put $10 down on the White Sox at plus 140.
Ooh, nice.
So,
I like it.
You know, went over $20 on this thing.
That Sox bet that I won yesterday was the only one, because then I was chesty, and I was upstairs watching the basketball game from the comforts of my bed, gambling, which is like I was laying in bed watching the game gambling. I was like, what universe am I in? Wherever I'm at, I don't want to leave it. If this is a simulation and this is a game, then you know what? Keep me right where I am. And then I just got my ass handed to me.
Oh, boy.
I was like, oh, I'm going to play the Nuggets in the fourth quarter. I think I actually played the Nuggets to win -5 at one point. But then I played the Lakers to win. Like, I'd had a couple of glasses of wine. The last thing I should have been doing was betting. And I'm only betting $10.
What's more dangerous, gambling while intoxicated or tweeting?
Tweeting.
Yeah,
tweeting.
I try not to tweet.
Well, no one ever got fired gambling.
Yeah, I don't tweet. Well,
so Waddle, NBA tonight, I think we play the Celtics first quarter line.
I just played the Heat plus three.
Oh, wow. Well, Blex, what is your bet there? What Celtics first quarter, what is that line there?
Well, the line is 1.5. So the Celtics by 1.5 for the first quarter. I think they come out strong tonight. I think what we saw in game three, I think the Celtics started to figure out some things that started to work. And also their perimeter defense was pretty fantastic. And I think that is going to be kind of what we see in this game tonight. And this series is going to be even at 2.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Jimmy talked about their bad starts.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Jimmy. Even though that they've, you know, Jimmy, Jimmy gets angry,
a little
like,
mouthy.
Don't you think the Heat are going to put so much on the start tonight?
No, you know, that may be possible, but listen, the talent of Jason Tatum and Kemba Walker, like once they start to figure things out, I think that's where we've seen them be a little slow in series to a certain extent.
I'm a basketball idiot. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
No, you're not.
But I'm with you, Sylvie. I think Jimmy, like the one thing that I keep asking, and Bleck advised me against betting Jimmy about one of the games in the series before in terms of total points. Jimmy has been more of a deferring type of player at times than I remember. And I think if this team is going to get past the Celtics, my bet is that Spoelstra has told them that, Jimmy, you can't just wait to the fourth quarter to take over, that you're going to have to be more assertive scoring and taking shots earlier in the game. So I'm playing on good Jimmy tonight.
I would also kind of factor this in. Butler has to work. Jay Crowder, they have to work defensively on the Celtics perimeter players. So, like, this is one of those scenarios where Jimmy is being taken advantage of on the defensive end. Because he has to give max effort defensively. Thus, can he give you the scoring output you're expecting? Like, Tyler Hero was fantastic the other night. What do you have, like 20 points in the first half?
So good.
He was hitting everything, right? He's 20 years old.
It's an incredible. His story is incredible, yeah.
But, like, outside of, like, one of the bit part players with the Heat getting hot, you know, like, do you trust Duncan Robinson to, didn't he hit like 6 of 7 threes in the first half of a different game? Like, the Celtics, to me, have a more sustainable offense.
They do. Like, I think the Celtics are better.
But
the Heat have been maybe not the best team.
Okay. And this is another point, which I think if you watch these games, it's very obvious.
Now you're making me cry. I got money on Jimmy
Here's the other thing. You should take some of that money and go put it on LeBron, because if you watch these two teams play, neither of these two teams are championship worthy. And I get it. At the end of the day, one of them may win a championship. But all things considering, this is not neither of these teams. The Heat or the Celtics, neither of these teams are a championship team.
Okay, that's fair, but I thought LeBron and
really good teams.
Thought that they were just going to walk out onto that court, and they were going to walk out 3-0.
Shout out to Jamal Murray.
Denver.
Well, that's the point.
Where was Jamal Murray, by the way, drafted? He was in the lottery, but how high?
7th.
That's a great question.
He was 7th. Murray was 7th overall.
Was he really 7th?
Yeah.
Out of Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Isn't he the essence of what we're looking for?
Yes.
Of a guy who can be developed into a star?
Yeah.
Like CJ McCollum. Good coming out.
Well, even more than McCollum, Damian Lillard is one of those guys well.
Yeah.
Right.
Bradley
Beal.
They
take a little bit of time.
Did you mention Mitchell, too?
Donovan Mitchell, the Mitchell who's been developed.
No,
yes,
Mitchell,
I agree.
Trubisky.
Successful.
So, and we started this conversation about gambling.
How is Wallace supposed to afford his box of powdered potatoes after he bet the Heat?
Yeah, right. And I got you making me bet MLS games.
Listen, man.
And I'm throwing donuts
I'm just telling
around
you,
after
I'm playing
one
the
half.
Celtics in the first
what
quarter
mean?
Tonight.
It's
That's
1-0.
What I'm playing.
Isn't there enough sports for you to not gamble on MLS right now?
MLS is a profitable entity. You watch your mouth when I'm talking to you.
1-800-GAMBLER, brother.
Yeah, what's that thing at the end of all the commercials?
1-800-GAMBLER.
Whoa.
Waddles in there itching during commercial breaks.
I'm lucky. I'm like Sylvie. I bet $5 or $10. I'm not betting a bunch of money.
First of all, it's the end of the first half in the New England Revolution and the Montreal Impact.
Sylvie, I'm betting on the New England Revolution and the Montreal what?
Impact.
You know
It's Canadian, so maybe it's IMPA.
It's Impact.
It's 1-0. You got the all important first half goal. Now you just need two more. What's wrong with that?
Incredible.
The
Celtics line has changed first quarter to 1 point.
It's a half point on mine.
Love it. Right. What are you holding up there, Waddle? What do you got in your hand?
Oh, this is my glass holders.
It's cheaters.
These are my cheaters.
It looks like a bag of something else.
Money
bag.
Well,
what do you think it is? That's right. If it's a money bag, you're right. Look at this. Like, it's got no room for any money because I ain't got any money. Excuse me, coin purse?
Yeah.
Don't say that around Gian Greco. If you ask to see his coin purse, you're not going to like what he shows you.
I'm just saying that, look, gamblers look at everything. I'm betting North Texas last week. I'm betting Troy last week in college football.
They're all the same.
You don't even know where their schools are other than North Texas because they're North Texas.
Yeah.
Troy's Alabama.
Troy's in Alabama, and they covered handily. Troy covered handily.
You know what? That's fine, but then what'd you give me? I asked you for a play, and it sunk my battleship.
Yeah, that's because first week under, second week overs happened.
Yeah.
Before I play the Barkley Bull stuff, do you have Barkley on getting crushed by the Atlanta Falcons on money making?
Yeah.
Because it plays perfectly into this, and we can play those back to back. Yeah.
Chris, check for cut 9-21. Barkley should be in the system. 9-21. Barkley in the system.
I love shop talk on the air. That's what we should do. Why be scared to just...
Let's see. Is this it?
What on earth is so urgent that you have to raise your hand?
Let me set this up. So the NBA on TNT starts, and Barkley raises his hand.
Right. They're on the air right now.
He has a question.
Well, rightfully so. Here we go. Charles Barkley.
What on earth is so urgent that you have to raise your hand?
Am I camera four?
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I just want to say something, America. Y'all know I love football. It's my favorite sport.
Okay.
And let me tell you something. I lost a fortune on the Atlanta Falcons and the Super Bowls when they choked. But let me tell you something. They outdid themselves today. That was the biggest choke job what the Atlanta Falcons did today. I'm not giving the Dallas Cowboys
it's only credit. Week
stop
two.
That
stop
was
it.
A choke
What about
job.
The Cowboys? Stop you know, it. Man.
So great. And now the Bears play the Falcons.
The best part is he says he's sitting on the set for their NBA show, which is Emmy Award winning.
Right.
He's one of the best players in the history of the sport. And he tells you, you all know my favorite sport's the NFL, football.
Oh, yeah.
That's why the show is the best, because they don't care about what anyone else thinks. You know what I mean? They do what they want. And it's fun. So, Barkley, this was last night about the Bulls job, right? And Billy Donovan taking it?
Yep, take a listen.
How about the Billy Donovan news today? Chicago Bulls. Welcome
Billy
to our
D.
new head coach.
I tell you, I love Billy. One of the two worst jobs in that was the captain of the Titanic and my fitness coach.
then the Chicago job?
That's the only coach. My fitness coach and the captain of the Titanic. I'm the only two worst jobs in the world.
No, come on.
You don't think that was a good job? I don't think that's a good job. Hell no.
Okay, why? Is he a good man for that job?
But why is it not a good job?
Because they ain't got good players.
Okay.
They ain't got no good players. I wouldn't take that job. Billy's a good coach. He could have waited for a better job. I mean, he must just really want to work. The Bulls don't have a good team. I'm not telling nobody nothing nobody don't know.
Wait, Kenny. Wait, Kenny.
Chuck, what'd you say? I ain't telling nobody nothing don't know. Do the Bulls have a good team?
Name six
right
players
now.
On the Bulls.
Not right now.
Name six
not right
players
now.
On the Bulls.
Not right now.
Not right now. They not
Zach Levine,
six players on the Bulls.
Harkonnen, Kobe White.
Zach Levine.
I said Zach.
Oh, did you?
That's twice.
Zach Levine. Four times.
That's three.
Oh, man.
Wendell Carter Jr.
Wendell Carter's young player.
We met guys who can play.
Chris Dunn.
We can all name some people.
What's my guy from Michigan State? I like him, too.
Valentine. You're right.
They're young. I'm surprised that he took a young team.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his team's always been fighting to possibly win.
Billy's a really good coach. He won just one coach of the year. He could have got a better job. That's not a good job.
Billy Donovan thrives in player development. That's what the Bulls need, number one.
You know what?
Number two, well, hold on one second, Waddle. Number two, the biggest thing is the guys who are picking the players have changed. It would be a bad job if the old guys were still here. But the direction of the franchise has been finally been changed, and we've got guys running it now the right way.
Well, and how do we know these guys can't play? Maybe they just were not coached well. Maybe there is some unlocked talent. We'll find out. Like, I'm not willing to jump to that conclusion yet. I may come to that conclusion after a year of them being involved in a professional organization.
You get a star player, don't some of the other pieces start to look much more desirable?
Of course, yes. Yeah. Look at some of the guys that are playing for the Nuggets right now. Some of their, you know, kind of role players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guys that are playing fantastic basketball.
If Wendell Carter is your fifth best player, that's a pretty good team. I would imagine.
Need to see him develop an offensive game.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's his role? Like, define his role. Like, they've picked a direction as a team now with AK and Eversley, and they picked the coach. Now we're going in the right direction.
We were told,
now establish roles for the players.
We were told that Wendell Carter Jr. reminded people of who?
Al Horford.
Correct. Now, who coached Al Horford in college?
Billy Donovan.
All right. So, Billy.
Yeah, I like it, Waddle.
Turn what's his name, Wendell Carter Jr., into Al Horford.
Just not current Al Horford at the Sixers.
No, no, no. Yeah. Not this Al.
Like, and where did Chris Dunn go to school?
UConn.
No.
No, Providence.
Yeah.
Oh, he went to Providence. That's right.
Where's Billy Donovan from?
He played at Providence.
Well,
there you go.
I'm not hitching my wagon to Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
I'm not hitching my wagon there.
Come on. At least I thought I gave you a feasible thing to get you excited.
Yeah, go ahead, try Abdallah.
Can I bring it full circle?
Yeah, try one.
It's 2-0 New England Revolution.
Oh!
Boom!
All right, coming up next.
I will heap praise on you if they score four goals.
332-3776 if you want to react to the Billy Donovan stuff. We did a lot of that in the 5 o'clock hour yesterday. I was hot early in the show over Chris Bryant and a writer in town. I'll bring that up coming up next, and Mark Jean Greco at 5:30.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You got another thing coming.
What's that?
You got another thing coming.
Is that what this is?
Not Cindy Lauper.
You got another lopper coming.
Lop it.
The news out of Pittsburgh today was pretty good for Chris Bryant. David Ross said, I don't know why I keep saying
don't
Dave
Ross. Don't you go soft now. Don't like you were ready to fire. Don't all of a sudden now start saying nice things to people.
No, I was giving the news, though, first.
Okay, then light somebody up.
That his, what's the injury again? The
oblique.
The oblique is getting better. They're going to put him through some tests. I don't believe you bring Chris Bryant back, though, for the regular season to, quote, get some at-bats. He's seen enough baseball. What he needs to do is rest his body. He needs to rest his mind.
Get right.
And he needs to get right for the postseason. Don't force that. The other thing today was Waddle. He lit my wick because first of all, when he sends me the Gordon Whitmire piece from NBC Sports Chicago after a bad night's sleep, and like I'm half in a fog, and then I click on it, and then I see in it that Whitmire is calling everyone who is just doing some critical thinking on Chris Bryant as a player right now as being a meathead. And he even quoted my tweet in there, and the thing that really pissed me off was that Whitmire did not cite my tweet by name. And that is a huge journalistic flaw. Anytime we play a highlight from him and NBC Sports Chicago, we say the sound from NBC Sports Chicago, the sound from Fox. Hey, did you see what Gordon wrote today on NBC Sports Chicago? Hey, did you see what Dan Weider wrote in the Tribune? You give credit where credit is due, even if you're ripping the tape.
I'm so glad I'm not a journalist.
And today I was just like viewed as like a local radio broadcaster, which is fine. But that's, again, like if you're going to rip me, at least have the ball.
The temerity.
And I like Gordon, too. And that's what hurt me the most. I'm not hurt, but I'm disappointed at Gordon for even doing that, because the thing that made me the most mad about Gordon calling people who's doing critical thinking on Chris Bryant meatheads is that when people were zigging, Gordon zagged on his take with the Cubs. He's been very critical of Ricketts for years, even when they were hiring Theo, even when they were winning a World Series. And so here's someone who has shown you that even he can critically think at times. But yet here are some people who just say, hey, this is our MVP in the prime of his career.
Hands off.
Asking for $300 million. Why is he not hitting like we expect him? And then here's a guy who is paid to cover the team simply throwing out a name and calling us meatballs or meatheads. And I thought that there were two articles on Chris Bryant today. There was
one was Patrick Finley.
Patrick Mooney.
That was Patrick Mooney.
You got your Patricks mixed up.
I got my Patricks mixed.
And one was nuanced, and that was by Mooney, as usual. The other one was sort of drivel, and that was...
That was Gordo.
Gordo, yeah.
As you've called him Gordo.
Yeah, I think... Don't people call him Gordo?
I don't know.
I just did today. So, and the other thing that people are using now is the COVID season...
The COVID pass. I've told you that about a lot of different sports. The COVID pass is, are people going to get the COVID pass?
And I think that's a nuanced conversation, just like Chris Bryant's last 3 years is. But if we're going to give COVID passes out, are we not rewarding people who have done well this year?
I think it's a very fair point, and I support your approach, because I don't think at any point have you said on this very show that Chris Bryant should no longer be part of this organization. You've expressed your frustration that he isn't the same dominant player that he was in 15, 16, and 17, because you had held out hopes because you thought he was going to be that guy. And in the context of a contract extension going forward, this is a really difficult conversation to have.
So go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, it's not just, hey, we're going to give a guy $300 million contract because Scott Boras is his agent and he had a good 15, 16, and 17, or a magnificent 15, 16, and 17. The arrow is not pointing in the same direction as it was back then, and that will affect what the contract will look like.
If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Mark Gene Greco will do the same. And Marky, of course, loved Gale Sayers. We lost a great one today. We'll talk about that with Mark coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Mark Gene Greco has stepped into the First Midwest Bank studio with Waddle.
I am here.
And I'm watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000.
I love Twitch. It's wonderful.
You know what it was built for originally, or what people used it for originally?
Security cam.
Because Waddle just found this out yesterday.
I see you stealing those packages off my porch.
Well, listen, I understand it's a good way for people to be able to listen and participate in a radio show. I did not realize that it was one of the most popular ways for people to watch other people play video games.
Oh, there you go. Hey, these guys are making 3, 4, 5, 10 million a year.
I know they are.
They've got a trillion likes and followers. It's absolutely an amazing phenomenon.
But I guess it's no different than watching a baseball game or a football game, right, to some people?
I don't know.
Some, yeah.
You're watching a guy. That's why they call it Twitch, I guess. You got a guy with a Twitch muscle playing a video game, and then you got those drone races and warehouses and everything else. It's not an athletic feat, okay?
But it's still competition. They're giving athletic scholarships to college to these kids.
Free rides.
No, look it. They can work at the missile defense thing, okay? They can protect our country, but don't pay them to play video games. Just practice on them.
Listen.
And then defend our country.
With Matthew Broderick?
War games. That's it. That's the future. That's the present, actually.
Like, I see some of these recommended channels when I go inside the Twitch channel of ours. And there are people, I don't know who these people are. One guy's got 30,500 people watching him do whatever he does right now.
Oh, the original guy a few years ago, every month, He'd post yes. a picture of him with a new Lamborghini
Ninja,
or a
right?
Ferrari. Yes.
His name was Ninja.
Ninja's got 27,300 people.
Is he local?
Yeah, he's from like Gray's Lakers.
Yeah, there's a guy that lives on Ivanhoe's course that I believe that some of my friends know that is like the biggest and most successful gamer.
Does he have blue hair?
I don't know.
Hey, if he has blue hair, that's Ninja. Yeah. He's like one of the most famous.
Right. Makes like $10 million a year, they said.
And he's got like a crowd. More. He's got a crowd like the size of a baseball crowd. Yeah. When we were allowed to have people in a ballpark, watching him do what he's doing.
What games does he play?
Oh, I don't know. But it's funny. I overhear conversations from guys who are watching him saying, you know, he's doing all that with just a standard joystick, you know. It's nothing special. It's not an upgraded thing or anything.
Let's see. There's
no shortcuts. It's insane. But hey, that's how Zach LaVine found out about Billy Donovan. That was wonderful. And playing Call of Duty.
We made fun of the, it seemed like a lack of emotion, but I don't know Zach LaVine, but watching him speak to different press in different press settings, he doesn't seem to be the most like.
No.
I thought he was going to scream the way Bleck sold it to me.
Right.
I heard some of the gamers scream while they're playing these video games, and I thought Zach was going to really react over the top.
Well, he did for him.
That's what I was going to say. That's kind of his personality.
Oh, yeah, damn. We got Billy Donovan as our next coach. I swear. Just came out.
That's Zach being thrilled.
That'd be good.
Wow.
Wow.
That'd be good. Billy Donovan was the coach for OKC. He used to coach at Florida. Really good coach.
Compare that to the Harbaugh bite that we play at the end of the show. Right. What's the Harbaugh bite about? Yeah. Like when he was on the show?
Yeah, this is love. What does he say at the end? He goes, "This is a great time. This is a lot of fun."
Yeah,
it's great.
That was a big thrill.
That was a big thrill. Mm-hmm. How about when like he said to us? Remember, Sylvie? This I think prior to that he was like, "Are you guys done with me?"
Yeah.
That was a big thrill.
Can I leave now? I'm actually at a you know an official recruiting.
Trip. Oh damn, we got Billy Donovan.
That was a big thrill.
Oh, that's a big thrill.
Hey, listen, how about this for a transition? Speaking of Twitch, can we talk about Gale Sayers?
Of course, I knew you would want to. And Michael Wilbon told some great stories, and I knew that you, Marky, would have great stories.
Well, here's the deal. When I came to Chicago in 1982, obviously I got to meet him, interview him several times. At that point in his life, he was a very dignified, classy, successful businessman. And he was not a goofy, like really yucky, fun-loving guy when you first meet him. He was a very serious man, and he demanded respect. And he gave respect when he thought it was due. So when he walked in the room, everybody stood up. As a player, I'm old enough to have watched Gale Sayers play live on television. I was in seventh grade in 1965, his rookie year. And back in those days, there were only three network TV stations and maybe an independent station in your market, okay? And we always got Browns or Bears for the early CBS game. So I saw a million Bear games. And you just marveled at the freakish talent. His speed and his incredible mind-boggling moves would really terrorize the NFL today. We talked to Don Pearson, the legendary columnist, covered the Bears forever. He compared him to Devin Hester, and I said, with all due respect to Devin, Gale was even better. For me, if we're just talking about
Pure runner
with the greatest instinctive moves, he is the greatest running back of all time. There's only one other running back in the history of the NFL who could match him with that, and that's Barry Sanders.
In terms of, like, he's arguably the greatest open field runner of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I still believe, and again, I didn't see really any of Jim Brown, but I still believe Walter was the best overall back of all time. He would block, he was a receiver, he could run, he could do everything. Walter was, to me, was the greatest of all time. I thought, and I didn't see, Gale. So I always thought that Barry Sanders was the best pure runner.
Right.
You know, so like
I put those two together.
Yeah.
And like I got Jim Brown or Gale Sayers every Sunday at noon when I was growing up, all through freshman year in college, which was 1971, his final year. Now, thank God for YouTube and NFL films and everything else that all this is archived. And these following generations today, at least, got to be reminded of who he was and what he was.
Yeah.
I mean, John Facenda reading Steve Sable's glorified, you know, flowery, you know, prose and NFL films, the greatest line from the Gale Sayers documentary describing the way he ran. He danced like a deer through a minefield. You know, it was just, it capsulizes it right there, crystallizes it. It's just, and you know, and then for him to suffer dementia the past several years, I mean, it was really troubling. Tommy, you were there for the big reunion of all the Bears.
It was sad.
And the red carpet just, with Fridge in a wheelchair, and then Rivisori in a wheelchair, and Gale Sayers in a wheelchair.
And I thought
speaks
Gale
volumes
was,
to what the NFL does to you. And that was so sad because he wasn't able to remember who he was, you know?
Yeah, he was in really bad shape.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think Michael said, look, this did not come as a great surprise to anyone. It does not, you know, limit the sadness that's, you know, the emotion that you get from it. But he had been in bad shape.
Plus, it's 2020, and all your reactions are magnified, and you grieve a little more from this kind of stuff, you know? 77 is young now, and a knee injury that he suffered, boom. If that happened today, he'd be back the next year, bigger and better than ever. So it's a shame.
Mark, I thought you'd appreciate this quote from Johnny Morris, a guy who you know well, who was at CBS for a long, long time, was a great all-time Bear at wide receiver. And Mark Potash in the Sun-Times put a quote in there today about Gale Sayers. He wrote, "I played with Gale." He said, "I covered Peyton as an announcer, and I've covered a lot of guys over the year. If I wanted one player for a season, I would take Walter Payton. But if I wanted a player for one play, I would take Gale Sayers over every running back I've seen, whether it was Jim Brown or O.J. Simpson."
Wow, that's really well put. See, O.J. was going to be my number three choice. I was reluctant to bring up his name for obvious reasons, so I wouldn't insult Gale during this day of mourning. But, those three guys, Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders, and O.J. Simpson, as far as instinctive moves and speed, those are the three top backs of all time. And forget about the numbers and the stats and everything else. Just the eye test, just looking at them perform as incredible athletes. It's just, oh, man, you know. You know, reached out to Mike Ditka today and to Dick Butkus, and, you know, I hate to even bring it up, but I don't want to be talking about them very soon either, you know. So I hope they can. They can hang
I'm sure they
for
were both inundated with a lot of people reaching out trying to get responses from them. So,
all right, Mark, we'll get much more with you. I want you to react to the Billy Donovan we got yesterday around this time, and I want you to react to the Chris Bryant thoughts that we had today. And
Sylvie's getting ripped.
Yeah. Ooh,
Sylvie's getting ripped.
I got your back, Sylvie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You always do. Mark Jean Greco joining us. Thanks to our great friends and partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago, and Pyramid Club Addison celebrating with you. The Pyramid Club in Addison has all you need during sports seasons. Many TVs, socially distanced seating, cold draft beer, including Sam Adams Boston Lager and Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Daily food and drink specials and entertainment. Yes. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. The Pyramid Club, Addison, and Sam Adams celebrating the return.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Mark Jean Greco is brought to you by our great friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. The weather is still great. It will be great this weekend
I drove by today on my way down, and place was hopping.
It was 80 today. It's going to be mid-70s through the weekend. You got to go.
Yeah, it's dynamite.
Make your reservation, sit outside on their gorgeous patio. They got so much room there.
Over 600 wines to choose from. I think I've had a taste of all.
In one night.
Yeah.
And David Flom and Matt Moore do it right. They'll roll out the red carpet for you. Just like someone just tweeted me saying, guys, I just booked our anniversary dinner there. It's the first time they've ever been there. You know, we always get the tweets, hey, what would you recommend? We always say, Marky gets the Dover sole.
I get the bone-in filet.
Yep, and I like the little surf and turf, little mini filet with a couple of lobster tails.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, if you book my table for your anniversary, there might be something under the chair, a little surprise for you.
What do you put under the chair?
It depends. It depends on the occasion.
It's gum.
I leave a little gift.
Yeah. You know, like Gene Greco gum.
Yeah, like Brockmire. I'll give you a basket.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
All right, so you have my, do you really have my back
Derek
on this?
Jeter,
do
you know.
Do you, the gift basket.
Yeah.
Do you have my back on this?
Look, and I'm very disappointed in Chris Bryant over the past couple of seasons. But what drives me insane are armchair athletes who criticize a guy for being injured like he's weak, both mentally and physically. You know?
And I mean, we have not trafficked in that.
That's ridiculous. You know? And we're in a shortened COVID season where nobody's in shape. So cut the guy a break. Yeah, did he peak too soon?
Sounds like he's on Gordo's team, Sylvie. He said he was going to support you.
Right.
Sounds like he's on Team Gordo.
But you're very disappointed in his performance. So you're not ripping him 8 ways to Sunday, are you?
I like Chris Bryant, and I want Chris Bryant on my team.
Okay, see, that's the bottom line.
The salary now gets in the way.
Well,
and
even
his
one-year
contract
Right, you're exactly right. And even if he was having another great year and was not injured, the money's not going to be there because everything is skewed.
Right.
Yeah.
But then at least he did value on the trade market. I would never say, let's get rid of Chris Bryant.
Okay.
I want to get him right. And I'm not in
But it's also okay to be like, you know what? As I've said before, we don't put the bar. We don't set the bar. The athletes, the teams, they set the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He set the bar at a ridiculously high level with being the rookie of the year, then the MVP, and followed it up in 17 with another good year. Like, he was great. So if you're a Cubs fan like Sylvie, you're thinking like, oh, I got Mookie Betts. I got Mike Trout. I got one. And last year he had the 60th ranked WAR in all of baseball. It wasn't a bad year. It was a good year.
Good year. All-star year.
I just don't want him to be framed and categorized as, you know, the guy you went to grammar school or high school with who peaked freshman and sophomore year. And that was it, you know.
Well, and then the conversation is, and we've always had the conversation. There's nuance with it. There's context. And the context has been, you know, Chris Bryant has Scott Boras as an agent. I'm sure they're looking for a $300 million contract.
Yeah.
You're the Cubs. They've told you that they have financial restraints, constraints, whatever the word may be for you.
Constraints, restraints.
Somebody ought to.
Whatever it is.
Ought to restraint Boras.
So now, I mean, like, look, you want Chris Bryant, but you can't give him $350 million.
No, you got to choose between Bryant and Baez and then Rizzo in the mix and everything else. Tough decisions coming up.
I have to briefly heap praise on Adam Abdallah.
Oh, no.
They've scored a fourth goal, and we won our soccer bet.
I was kicking you
in the nuts earlier.
Heap them.
Okay, wait a minute.
That's 3 goals in the second half, my friend.
Wait a minute.
Never doubt the MLS.
Woo, yeah!
Time out.
That's money.
We're talking about betting on soccer right now.
Do you like money? Hold on. Do you like money?
Yeah, I love
money. All right, well, then, no, you know.
You're
really degenerate if you lose.
Why don't you do that on your own time? Okay.
That's what we're doing.
That's right. This is our time.
This is the Waddle and Sylvie show produced by Chris Bryant.
This is his time.
This is my time.
He said that if we got 4 goals, he would heap praises.
I'm heaping praise on you.
I praise you.
I'm sorry I'm not betting some rogue Saskatchewan hockey team.
Or some CFL game. Hey,
yeah.
You know what? You might bet and win 9 times out of 10 on the Russians, but this is my time until 6 o'clock.
All right, so he prays on the Bulls.
Oh, I love Charles Barkley's reaction last night. There are only 2 worst jobs, his fitness trainer and the captain on the Titanic. And that was true for many, many years. But turn the page, Chuck, and you know how much I love you. I mean, for Arturis Karnišovas to be able to recruit Billy Donovan and talk him into coming here when he didn't want to rebuild in OKC, that says a lot about the respect.
Could have gone to Philly, right? And had Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Yeah. And Charles was right in that. Why was he desperate? Why didn't he hold out? There'll be some better jobs available. But, you know, to get Billy Donovan says a lot about AK. So let's take it from there. Now, the nucleus you have, LaVine, Markkanen, White.
They're still in the middle of a rebuild. You know what I mean? It's not like this is.
So he didn't want to rebuild, but he's coming here anyway. So what's the difference? It's got to be Arturis, right?
Right. And at least they have a direction now. Now they'll figure out, can Markkanen play? If not, will they trade him? Will they trade Wendell? Is Coby White a point guard?
You got to dump Otto Porter's huge salary.
Right. Absolutely. Like, there are a lot of things now, while the roster certainly is not ready-made. I like the direction that the franchise is pointing and that we finally have hope as Bulls fans.
Amen.
I haven't cared for 100 years, and I'm kind of excited. So we'll
excited. That's probably that's the most I think that's the biggest compliment you could have ever given.
That's the Zach LaVine, Jim Harbaugh reaction.
That Marchie and Greco is kind of excited about the Bulls in the NBA.
Let me rephrase that. I might pay attention for a little while. How about that?
that's huge. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Really quick before the baseball show, today is the, I believe, 22nd anniversary of the Brant Brown drop. Do you guys remember where you were?
Yeah, I was at work watching it.
I was driving back from Hallis Hall on the Edens at about Tower Road, and I wanted to choke the steering wheel. I know that sounds kind of creepy.
Wow. That was weird.
Yeah, like, and
better that than the gear shift.
Ron Santo almost died.
If I'm not mistaken, maybe I think I was. Was that an afternoon game?
Yes, it was.
And I think I was on the air from 7 to 9 after that game.
The sun was in his eyes, and he lost it. And it turned out they went to the playoffs anyway, and that didn't matter, but it ruined his career.
Yes.
It ruined his career, the poor guy.
He was a good player, good young player.
All right, coming up, the soccer show. Hey.
No.
Baseball show, buddy.
They're going to make you money anyway they can.
12 more overs to get to tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 12 more MLS games if you want to get on the train.
Including Fire Dynamo.
Hey, we're going to have the fastest pregame shows in the world because the Cubs start at 6:05. So we're going to talk all things baseball as fast as we can.
That's a show? 5 minutes? Wow.
But they can do it.
Longer than your sports report.
That's like, that's like reading a disclaimer.
Sounds like a Friday night for you.
Sports reports combined.
That's awesome.
That's like a medical disclaimer. May cause vomiting or death. You know, that's it. That's the
it
show.
Lasts for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you to Chuck Arfine, Michael Wilbon, Jason Hare, and the one and only Marchie Greco. Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Bleck and Abdallah coming up next in just 2 minutes with a baseball show. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday night.
That was a big threat.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.